The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. It is the IU and Nebraska pregame show. It's a homecoming clash. A top 10 team, Nebraska, ranked 10th in the country, comes into Memorial Stadium. The game kicks off at 3:30 Eastern time and it'll be broadcast on ABC and ESPN2 in a reverse mirror. So check your local listings. Check wherever you check on regional broadcasts to find out what channel it will be aired on. But this is a big game for IU, coming off a loss against Ohio State. IU hasn't knocked off a top 10 opponent since 1967, but this seems like the right time to do it. This is, it looks like Indiana's best team since probably the mid-90s. And Nebraska, people say what you will, if they deserve a top 10 ranking or not is yet to be seen, but they are ranked 10th in the AP and coaches poll. We'll see how they do, but it's a big game. It's homecoming. It should be a big crowd, and Big Ten Network will be in town as well for BTN Tailgate, which was a cool event. I got to see it down in Columbus when they were there, and they have a lot of festivities, things going on, football tosses. I think it's armchair quarterback toss, football toss, stuff like that. Field goal kicking contest, some cornhole going on. So come take a look at that, and it'll be fun. We'll be joined by Alex Compton today. He'll be co-hosting with me. TJ Inman, our regular co-host, has to take care of sick kids, so I do not envy him, and I hope his little ones get better, and he'll join us later in the week for the post game show. So we'll get going with that. Some interesting things coming up that we're going to talk about. Nebraska's defensive coordinator said threw around some accusations, some pretty big accusations with IU's offense that they were stealing signals. So we'll get our reaction to that. We'll go into keys of the game. We'll also go into our matchups to watch, our predictions, and see what else is going around campus. Right now we are joined by Alex Compton. Alex, how are you?
Good. How are you today, Sammy? How are you doing?
We're doing excellent. It's a beautiful fall day up here in Indianapolis, talking football. So all of that is good. Alex, I don't know if you saw it last night. I think you did. We were texting a little bit. But Nebraska's defensive coordinator, I think it's Mark – I can't remember his name right now. But Mark Banker called out Indiana's offense for stealing signals. Said that they would do anything, within their power to steal offensive signals. It kind of set Twitter, IUFB Twitter, ablaze last night. What are your thoughts on those comments?
Yeah, to me, a little out of line. I mean, I'm sure that's part of every team's game plan. I mean, they have all those managers, all those graduate assistants, things like that. So to me, if it's that easy to steal your signs, you just need to get better signs. It's as simple as that. And then he went on further and he said he found out because coaching's like a tight fraternity and word gets around. Apparently it's not tight enough where he can just go out and rat him like that if that was the case. So to me, kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, and I'm hoping we put up about 40 points on him. Obviously that'll be a tough test. But to me, a little bit out of line, not really sure where it came from, and I don't think there's any reason for it.
Yeah, I thought, it was weird because the Nebraska writer put out the tweet, about 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. I don't know what their media availability is like, but it came in an odd time, and it's just, You know, it's something that has nothing to do with actual game planning and stuff. So to me, it seemed like a petty comment and it trying to stir something up, and it might show you where Nebraska's head is at. You know, they're coming
right.
to Bloomington
yeah.
for the first time in a long time. They're ranked in top 10 for the first time since, I believe, 2010 or something around there. And, you know, they might be a little bit nervous coming in against an offense who leads the league in passing and, you know, is right in the middle of the pack with points per game. But enough of the Twitter wars. What is your feeling going into this game? How big of a contest is this for IU?
I would say it's got to be one of our bigger games, at least since I've been on campus the last three seasons. I mean, you can kind of sense it. We're at this kind of fork in the road in the program. You can feel it. Everybody, like all the media coverage has been talking about this momentum building, the recruiting improving. But now we're at the point where we're starting to win some games. Obviously, we beat Michigan State. We have Ohio State on the ropes for most of the game. But now it comes down to winning these types of contests. The crowd should be pretty good. The students seem very, very excited about the game. So I think the atmosphere should be good. I think we're going to be ready because we generally play our better games after kind of lackluster performances. And to me, it's kind of going to be a one-score game either way. I mean, you look at the advanced stats, and IU and Nebraska are matched up pretty much evenly across the board. To me, it's going to come down to field position and obviously turnover battle. But definitely a big game for IU's season, both for this season's postseason and for the years to come.
Yeah, you know, it does seem like it's at that fork in the road where, you know, a loss here puts you back at 500, but a win would make you 4-2 going to Northwestern, which is a very winnable game. And then you have Maryland at home and Rutgers, and you really can get the ball rolling downhill, especially against, Rutgers. Maryland, you know, came back crashing back to earth against Penn State last week. And Nebraska is still a team, or Northwestern is still a team you can't really figure out. You know, they beat Iowa, but, you know, they lose to Illinois State and stuff like
Western
that.
Western Michigan as well, yeah.
Yeah, Western Michigan as well at home. So, you know, this is a win that could, you know, you could see the Hoosiers go from, you know, 4-2 to, you know, maybe 6-3 by the time early November rolls around.
Right.
You know, it's homecoming. A lot of alumni are going to be back in town, people who want to be excited about the program and stuff like that. And also you have BTN tailgate in town too. So there's a lot of buzz, extracurricular buzz about this game, besides it being a clash with the number 10 team in the country. Alex, you wrote about the matchup to watch as Marcelino Ball, who's the freshman Husky, who's played very well this year against fifth-year senior quarterback Tommy Armstrong. Take us a little bit further into that matchup and why you highlighted that matchup in particular.
Yeah, so kind of out of the recruiting class, I mean, Marcelino Ball was kind of almost unheard of, really, because he was such a late bloomer. He's still only 17 years old, which is pretty remarkable to think about considering how well he's played this season. But at times during the season, opposing offenses and offensive coordinators have kind of identified him as this young player who's kind of really amped up to make plays, and they're exposing him on the outside where he has to kind of make that quick read on the quarterback running back read option. Tommy Armstrong throughout his career, although he's gotten better throwing the ball, he's still always kind of shown a tendency to want to run the football first. And his athleticism definitely makes the read option a big part of Nebraska's offense. So a couple games in my mind that really showed how vulnerable Ball is on the outside. The Florida International game, you remember that long run in the first quarter? That was a break on him on the outside playing the Husky position. He did not contain the quarterback on the keep. And then as well as Ohio State this past weekend, they did not want to run JT Barrett very much. They're trying to get him healthy, save him for this stretch run. But as the defense tightened up, they kind of turned to that look because they knew they could get some easy yardage. If you go back and watch the game, there's a couple plays, especially when Barrett gets down close to the goal line, where Ball knows he screwed up, and you can visibly see him slamming the turf and yelling. To me, those are signs of a young player, yes, who's just really amped up to make plays. So that'll be definitely something to watch for on Saturday, because I think Nebraska is absolutely going to look to exploit him on the outside.
Yeah, and the good thing about Ball, you mentioned those plays earlier against FIU when he got burned on that option. I believe it was the first play of the game. He came back and blew up a bubble screen the next play. Saw him get burned a little bit against Ball State, and then they threw the same play, and he intercepted it. Now, the throw wasn't as good, but the coverage was right there, and that pass is not going to be complete anyway. Those Husky positions, especially in the read option, are guys that are going to try and keep the edge. And I think to take it to another level, you know, Tommy Armstrong's dangerous with his feet and scrambling as well, more so than Barrett. Mm-hmm. I think he's a little bit more explosive. So having a guy like Marcelino Ball or Zeke Walker set the edge, keep him in the pocket and force him to throw the ball where, you know, he's having a good season this year. Tommy Armstrong did throw 15 or 16 interceptions last year. That really was the difference of why that Nebraska team went 6-7. And why they're 5-0 right now. But let's take some keys to the game. Alex, what's your first key to a IU victory this weekend?
For me, it's absolutely got to be we need the running game back. Although we do lead the Big Ten in passing yards per game, scoring offense is right up there. The running attack since Feeney and Camille have been on the shelf has just been almost non-existent. This Nebraska team on defense, you look at them, we're actually ranked one spot higher than them in the S&P index. But what this team does do very well is limit big plays. So for IU, the key is going to be to just nickel and dime Nebraska all the way down into the red zone and to get these scoring chances. So it's going to have to be a patient approach on offense on Saturday. And it's going to all start with the run game up front. Obviously, if Feeney's back, it makes a huge difference. But if not, I think the other guys are capable enough where we need to see this running game come back for the offense to really round into shape here.
Yeah, and you mentioned the big plays. You know, Nebraska has been stout to start the season, but they've let up a 30-plus yard rush in each of the last four games. So they are susceptible a little bit to that big play. And on the flip side, Indiana is one of six teams that hasn't given up a rush of over 30 yards. So, you know, we'll see how Nebraska could handle that Indiana defense. To me, one of the keys to victory is getting out to a lead and, you know, taking advantage of your red zone opportunities. This is something that's been haunting the Hoosiers all season. They did an okay job statistically. When you look at the Ohio State game, they scored two touchdowns and four trips. I really, really wish they scored a touchdown on that first drive when they recovered the fumble, where you just put Ohio State in the position they've only been in once this year, is down a touchdown. But we'll see how they do that. Indiana's rushing game, as you mentioned, hasn't been good. They haven't scored a touchdown with a running back. Tyler Nate scored a touchdown, but he was playing Wildcat quarterback. So put an asterisk on that. But Devine Redding doesn't have a touchdown, and neither do any of the other running backs. And that's a problem, is that when they get inside the 10, they start running the ball and can't get a push. Hopefully Feeney comes back. We have not heard any word from him other than that he's doing more at practice, but he's been doing more at practice for the last two or three weeks. So that'll be a game time decision. We'll see if he's on the field dressed for warm-ups. But do you have another key to the game, Alex?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, obviously punching the ball in the red zone is going to be key. I think right now, I was looking at some stats this morning, I think we rank 120th out of 108 FBS schools in red zone efficiency. So that's obviously not something you want. We're just leaving too many points on the board. But my other key to the game is going to be kind of containing Nebraska kind of in that I guess that deeper passing stage. Like I said, Tommy Armstrong is obviously a threat to run at any point, but now also he's got that deep ball that he's developed. Alonzo Lewis, Alonzo Moore, yeah, sorry. He's averaging, I think, just under 25 yards per route run. So they definitely have the deep threats, even if Westerkamp and their tight end Carter are going to be out. So they have deep threats on offense, and I think the combination of Armstrong keeping on that read option as well as his ability to throw the deep ball could give the Hoosiers some fits. So I think if we can just limit those chunk plays on defense, I think our defense will play pretty well and we'll have a good shot at pulling out a win.
Yeah, my next key to the game, Alex, is going to be on special teams. Nebraska, we saw it last week against Ohio State. You know, the punting was good, but IU hasn't put together a full special teams performance yet this season. And Nebraska has a dynamic returner in Damorney Pearson L that can, you know, wreck the game for Indiana. So to me, one of the keys to the game is Griffin Oakes' kickoffs. Can he get touchbacks? Can he put the ball where it needs to be to limit runbacks? Because Pearson L is a dynamic returner. He has a handful of returns for touchdowns. And, you know, if the Husker offense is struggling without Westerkamp, who's their security blanket of a receiver, and their best tight end, Stephen Carter, are out, you know, their offense might struggle a little bit and need that spark. Pearson L can be that spark. So, you know, kind of, you know, hopefully limit those kickoff returns and keep them inside the 25. And if, you know, you get touchbacks and they start 25, that'll be just perfect as well. Any final keys to the game?
Yeah, kind of off the special teams. I'd kind of say it's super cliche and everybody says it, but I think winning the field position battle is going to be huge for us on Saturday. Our defense so far this season has done a great job at getting off of the field when they've been put in good spots. Ohio State scored 38 points, but I think they had two touchdowns on drives they started inside of our 10-yard line. So it's hurting our defense, obviously, but you can't really blame it on them. So I think that being conservative on those fourth down calls from the like 40 to 50 yard range and just taking a punt, pinning them deep, I think that'll pay off huge. I think that's a strategy we should take. Our defense has shown so far this season that they can kind of get off the field when they need to. So I think the field position battle is going to be huge on Saturday.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why Indiana beat Michigan State was that field position battle. It seemed like Indiana started on their side of the, you know, IU side of the 30-yard line plus most of the night, and really made it hard for that Michigan State defense, and even didn't set their offense up well, as IU did control field position. That'll definitely be huge going against Nebraska, who has yet to put opponents away early. You know, well, our final key to the game, though, I think is a stat that we put in our numbers to know, is Indiana's got to finish. Nebraska is outscoring opponents 78-6 in the fourth quarter. Illinois was at Nebraska. Illinois was in that game late, and they got put away. But, you know, if Indiana if they keep Indiana in this game, and I expect Indiana to be in this game, they're going to have to close the door on Nebraska in the fourth quarter, because this team can make fourth quarter rallies, and they have a fifth-year senior quarterback who's, you know, good at that, been in those situations now, and can really put the hurt on if Indiana doesn't step on the neck of Nebraska. And, you know, if it comes down to that, now Indiana's done that. They, you know, came back against Michigan State, although they let up that late touchdown. You know, they took that game down to the last, you know, couple seconds on a fourth and goal, and Chase Dutra falls down. Otherwise, they win that game in regulation. But yeah, limiting Nebraska in the fourth quarter, finishing the game, playing all 60 minutes and possibly overtime is going to be absolutely huge for this team. But we've seen them play 60 minutes of good football at times this year. But this is a game where they're going to need 60 minutes of good football. It's not going to be like Ball State where you could get out to a 30-0 lead and just hold on for dear life, or get off to the slow start you did against FIU and have a furious comeback. So play hard for 60 minutes. I know it's kind of lame, but you know, we saw it against Ohio State, that defense, you know, and Tom Allen was fired up after the game with their effort. Now it's time to put a, you know, it's, what is this, the sixth game of the year? It's the halfway point. It's time to put everything together, play a complete game, and play a complete game for 60 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, like I said, again, we're at the turning point of the season where if we slip up in this game, we're 500 again, and we got some work to do. But if we win this game at home on homecoming, I think advanced stats are favoring Nebraska by 3 points with like a 54% chance of a win. So it's definitely reasonable to expect us to win or to have a belief in us to win this game. Then you're looking at a possibility of a 7-8 win season. So this is just, we need a complete game on Saturday to kind of hopefully propel us towards some bigger goals.
Yeah, and that now, you know, Kevin Wilson has talked about changing the culture, and we've talked about it as well. Now you have, you know, the kind of culture that basketball has, not in the big sense, but you'll have, if they win Saturday, IU would have knocked off ranked opponents at home 2 games in a row, and he could start feeling the tides turning that Memorial Stadium is becoming a tough place to play. You'll be 3-1 at home with some winnable home games left with Maryland and Purdue and Penn State coming
in.
And really making Bloomington your house. And Wilson, I know, has kind of, you know, hated on the crowd a little bit, but if you can win your home games, people might, you know, be more apt to show up and stay. Now, you know, that's part of the scheduling as well. You know, going forward is, you know, you win your home games, and if you play six home games, you're going to go to a bowl game. So, especially with the 9-game conference schedule, it's important to get these winnable games at home. The line, I think, opened at 10 and moved to 3.5. So, you know, whoever's betting the game is giving Indiana a lot of much, you know, due respect to the Hoosiers, and you know, seeing where they will go from there. So it's a big game at home. Alex, is there anything with student athletic board going on to get the students to the game this week?
So kind of around campus, we've set up some stuff kind of advertising the BTN tailgate. So there's just, like, if you walk around campus, there's a big football advertising the BTN tailgate kind of in the middle of campus. Other than that, we are offering food and kind of gear towards the students to get them out to the Big Ten tailgate. I believe the doors are opening at 9 a.m., and they'll give out kind of stuff to them as they arrive. I believe the show starts at 10:30, if I'm correct.
Yep.
So the doors are going to open for students and for the public a little earlier to try and get people out there. There'll be free food from the Big Cheese food truck from 10 to noon for anybody out there. So if you're interested in a free, delicious grilled cheese sandwich, definitely get out there. But other than that, we're kind of just going around campus, chalking some of the sidewalks, just really trying to get the students behind this football team, because you can see that the progress is there, and kind of a win like this on homecoming to kind of show everybody that the change is finally happening.
Yeah, and hopefully, and you guys, the Student Athletic Board, have done a great job kind of putting events together for various sports, and it'll be interesting to see how many people turn up at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. But, you know, I'll be out there. I'll you know, see how the crowd is, and I'm looking forward to it. Alex, what is your prediction for Saturday?
Well, obviously, being a Hoosier diehard, I think we are going to pull out this game. To me, like I said a little bit earlier on the podcast, I believe it's going to be a one-score game either side. It's going to come down to the little things. Ultimately, I think it'll be decently high scoring. I'm going to give IU the win out of the final 38-34. Bragging rights are on the line. My brother's a freshman at Nebraska, so besides being a huge game for the program, huge game for me because I don't want to deal with that for the rest of the season. So 38-34 IU, I think you see that running game come back like I talked about, and it's going to come down to somebody just making a big play towards the end of the game. So 38-34 IU, move to 4-2 on the season and keep building for next week.
Yeah, I agree with you on the victory. I think that IU should be fired up to play on homecoming. It's about time they win on homecoming under Wilson. They're 0-5 coming into this one. Last homecoming was the awful mess against Rutgers. So I think they want to kind of redeem themselves with the fan base that comes to homecoming, you know, with a good performance against a top 10 team. I also think that Wilson definitely saw those comments from the Nebraska defensive coordinator, and I that should fire this team up a lot more. This is an offense that takes a lot of pride in themselves and doing it well. And whether or not they're stealing signs, if you're not stealing signs or figuring out signals during the game, you might want to take a look at your coaching staff and what they're doing on the sideline. But you know, they need to take that personally and stick it to Nebraska. And, you know, hopefully it's a majority IU crowd. Nebraska does travel well, so it should be a lot of Nebraska fans there. But you know, I'll say Indiana wins 31-24. Hopefully Dan Feeney comes back. The rushing game gets some life back. And we see Lego throw the ball a little bit more against Nebraska and take control of this game early and turn out with a win and go 4-2, as you said, and head up to Northwestern on a high note.
Yeah, absolutely. So you got two IU picks here. I think kind of national media thinks it's going to be a good game as well. And like we kind of talked about, it's just going to come down to those small things. So I encourage anybody that hasn't already purchased a ticket, if you're thinking about going, definitely do it. Weather's going to be really nice, and there's going to be all sorts of stuff happening in and around the stadium on Saturday. So thanks for having me on, Sammy. I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday, and as always, go IU.
Yep. Well, thanks for joining us and filling in for TJ, Alex. That will do it for our pregame show. We will be back on either Sunday or Monday with the postgame show, hopefully with a win. The game, as a reminder, kicks off at 3:30. If you're not going to the game and watching on TV, the channel is ABC or ESPN2 in a reverse mirror, so check your local listings. Be sure to tune in to BTN at 10:30, as they'll be live from Bloomington. The location is in front of the Mellencamp Pavilion and in between Memorial Stadium and Assembly Hall there. Tune in. If you're in Bloomington, head down there, make a sign. If you make a Hoosier Huddle sign, I'll be really, really happy, but I won't be disappointed if you don't. So go down, enjoy the festivities, enjoy homecoming. It's a great time to be in Bloomington. The weather's great. The leaves are turning. It's fall. You have a top 10 opponent coming in. You have the Hoosiers playing their best football probably in the last 20 years. And it should be a great game. Tickets are still available on iuhoosiers.com. Check StubHub if they're not available there either. And I think if you mention raise the flag, if you call in, you get a discounted ticket. I saw that somewhere. So if you do call the ticket office, use the Raise the Flag campaign. I think they'll give you $10 off or so, and we'll see you there. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. We thank you for your readership and your listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you after the game.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.